April 2nd, 1903. In the Master's Service, Ellen G. White. In times past, God has used humble men in His service, and because of their faith and devotion, these men have often accomplished more than many laborers of better education and higher pretensions. They realized their weakness and their dependence upon God, and by personal efforts, by a well-ordered life and a godly conversation, they turned men from error to truth, from the path of transgression to obedience to God. The mighty power of grace worked with them, and success attended their efforts. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Two men start out to labor in the cause of God. One has had every advantage of education. His mind is cultivated, his powers are developed, and he is prepared to become an efficient worker. But we look in vain to see the good results of the advantages he has enjoyed. Instead of increasing his usefulness, his education fosters a feeling of self-importance. He esteems himself above his less fortunate brethren. He does not continue to store his mind with useful knowledge to fit himself to bear greater responsibilities. While he boasts of learning, he does not labor to the utmost of his ability, with an eye single to the glory of God. The other has good natural abilities, but a limited education. He is a constant learner in the school of Christ. The love of Jesus is in his heart, and he walks humbly with God. He is unselfish in thought and purpose, and he tries to do all the good that he can. As he uses the ability that he has, his mind expands. The educated man may exalt himself over his unlearned brother, but he is like the man who hid his talent in the earth. He has shunned the trouble and exertion necessary to trade with his entrusted talents, that he may return them, with the increase, to his Lord. Unless he repents, he will be condemned as a slothful servant, and will be dismissed from the presence of his Lord. But the one who is faithful in the use of his talents, returning at last both principal and interest, will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The man who blesses society and makes a success of life is the one who, whether educated or uneducated, uses all his powers in the service of God and his fellow men. In all our churches, there are persons who might be educated to become workers for Christ. There is certainly a fault somewhere, or there would be more workers developed to unite with us in our efforts for the salvation of souls. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Have special meetings for the education of workers. Souls for whom Christ died are perishing all around us, and what excuse can we give that they have never been warned? Think of the mighty truths that God has entrusted to our keeping, and let earnest work follow your thoughts. Make mighty strokes for God. No compromise is to be made with sin or with timidity and cowardice. The Christian laborer knows no drudgery in his heaven-appointed work. He enters into the joy of his Lord in seeing souls emancipated from the slavery of sin, and this joy repays him for every self-denial. Our faith is weak, our sense of God's requirements feeble. We must awake to duty. We must be endowed with power from on high. Instead of resting satisfied with our present attainments, let us cherish a longing desire that our lips may be purified and touched with a live coal from off the divine altar. The word of God to us must come to the people, not in a feeble, hesitating way, but with earnestness and power. We must pray more earnestly, more fervently, that God may work in us and through us. Angels are commissioned to be our helpers. They are passing between earth and heaven, bearing upward the record of the doings of the children of men. We can never be saved in inactivity. The life of Jesus rebukes every idler. In His strength, we may do the work that He did. The promises of God are rich and full and free. We may have with us the power of His salvation. It is because threads of unbelief are woven into all the web of life that our experience is so lacking in power. Shall we not begin to weave in, instead, the precious golden threads of faith? Remember, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If clouds hide the sun from sight, we do not mourn as if it would never again appear. God's dear face of brightness is not always seen, but we are not to despond. It is our duty to trust Him in the darkness, knowing that His love is changeless.
It was the joy of Christ to save souls. Let this be your work and your joy. Perform all duties and make all sacrifices for Christ's sake, and He will be your constant helper. Go straight forward where the voice of duty calls. Let no seeming difficulties hinder you. Take up your God-given responsibilities, and as you bear your sometimes heavy burdens, do not ask, "Why idle stands my brother, no yoke upon him laid?" Do the duty nearest you, and do it thoroughly and well, not coveting praise, but working for the Master because you belong to Him. Mrs. E. G. White.